Okay. Okay. Well, ever since my episode of 40 days, I've been trying to decide what I should say. I could never thank all of you enough for your prayers, because as you know, that is what brought me through. And I have spent 40 days in the hospital and in the rest room. Keith put it very nicely this morning. He said you've been 40 days in the belly of the womb. So I thought that was about the best way to put it, and I'm not going to try to cover it. I could never thank all of you enough. It was an experience, and one that I'm not very good with patience, as you all know, but I learned a whole lot about patience while I was there. But I do thank all of you, and nobody is indispensable. Now, my Sunday school class was not available, we didn't have anybody this morning, we'll put it that way. Now, we can't let that happen. So next Sunday, all of you that are in our Sunday school class, I'd like to see you back there this coming Sunday. And I will do my best to be there myself. This is the first time that I have been here for Sunday school and church since all of that happened. But I'm back, and we're going to go forward. So please, all of you in our Sunday school class, show up next Sunday morning.
Well, like I said, good morning. I know I'm a different face. I got a call about 6 o'clock last night. Daddy said, you want to preach tomorrow? So, exactly. I ain't on short notice or nothing. But before I get started, Daddy asked me to, I don't want to embarrass him, but Daddy asked me to say something this morning. And it just shows you the character and the moral of the men we have in our church. I got an email this morning from Linda, and it says, and it was actually, it was a post, and it says, I just have to say that my husband was called to a duty of Christ today. We were going to, oh yeah, it's not Daddy, because Daddy's Daddy. But I'll give him recognition when I get done reading this. It says, we were going into Aurora and passed a big truck that went off the road and ended up on the other side of the road and flipped. Frank told me that truck was going to lose it, and it did. He did a Batman turn, got up in there, went to his truck that was on fire, opened the door of the truck, cut the man out of his seatbelt, and pulled him out. The man is fine, praise God. The truck burned up, and God saved this man. I'm so proud of him. He did not hesitate for a second to save this man. It was like watching something in a movie. And that was our own Mr. Frank Richards, you know. It just shows you how selfless we should all strive to be. But like I said, I got a call from Daddy last night, and he's talked to me about, you know, about preaching in the past, and I've run away from it for years. So don't never say something you ain't going to do. Might need to take a picture of this one. But anyway, he started saying, and as soon as he asked me to preach, I said, yeah, I'd do it, and I did it without hesitation at first. And then it went through my head, you know, what do I need to talk on? You know, and it was going through my head. And I was like, well, you know, do I need to speak on, you know, love and compassion? Do I need to speak on sin? And I was praying, I was trying to figure it out. And then the blunt of it hit me. I was like, you know, I got to stand up behind my daddy and talk. You know, it may not seem weird to y'all, but, you know, everybody knows my dad. Everybody knows that he is a great man of God, and just I'm not even trying to step in his shoes. I'm just trying to ride his coattail right now. But that's always been the scariest thing of preaching, was to, you know, try to get up behind my father. And I started praying about it, and the Lord spoke to me and said, just be you. You know, don't worry about your dad. Don't worry about your family. You know, just be you and speak from the heart. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to be David Linton. You know, we are cut from the same cloth. We have the same ADHD, but, you know, I'm not lying. But anyway, I started praying about it. And something told me to, you know, just speak about truth today. You know, truth is a big thing. And I'm going to start out with one scripture. And you can turn if you like. But John 14, chapter 2, and I will read just for a little bit. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there they may be also. And where ye go, you will know the way. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou gayest, and how can we say that way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Technically, I should just be able to drop the mic and walk away after that one. But Daddy said I had to talk on it too. That's what I'm going to speak about, the power of truth. And if you look on the bottom, I said, you know, it can hurt. And just like I said, this might take 10 minutes or it might take 20. I don't know. So y'all bear with me. And if I get too far off track, just throw something at me. You know, what is truth? Webster's Dictionary, it describes truth as a fact that has been verified. Or if you want to look at it, the verb past tense is to assert as true or to declare. The truth is something that you know is true. It's been verified. That's what the word does. That's what the word does to us in our daily walk. It verifies how we're supposed to walk. It verifies how we should live and how we should treat others. You know, John 8:31-32. So Jesus said unto the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, he's saying that, and it kind of coincides with another scripture I'm about to touch on. But he's telling us to be his disciples. So discipleship is not simply a decision of belief at some point in time, but an ongoing process of the following obedience. This means we are to read his word very carefully and apply it to our daily lives. We are commanded to abandon any teachings that are not according to God's word, as Paul warns Timothy. He says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will not heap up for themselves as teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned away and be turned aside to fables. And that's where I'm a jump into something, and this is where I said the truth hurts, you know, and it's getting worse and worse, and I think everybody in the church is going to agree with me. You know, political correctness is the cancer of the society that's eating the church away today. You know, we can't go out and preach the word or preach the gospel, yet they can go into our high schools and they can teach abortion and abstinence. You know, they took the prayer out, but yet they've switched it with something else. Linda's going to play this quick video for you. And this guy, his name is Brad Stein. He's a Christian comedian. This is one of the funniest guys you'll ever listen to. And instead of me trying to tell you what our political correctness is and trying to be funny like Daddy, it's just easier for me to show you a video. And he's going to explain to you political correctness in the church right quick. If it'll play. Anyway, it'll take just a second. But anyway, you know, he's gonna go over it, but while we're waiting for it right quick, the main thing is, you know, we have a duty as Christians and Americans. You know, we have the right. Oh, here we go.
You got to stick up for your tribe. You know why we don't shop for Christmas time? You know why we've allowed people to take stinking Christmas signs out of our stores? Because we have gotten too politically correct in this country. And political correctness is a cancer. I can't stand it. My job, my if I have any legacy, I want to watch political correctness die in my lifetime. But first, I want to watch it suffer. Because political correctness not only is anti-American because it allows you to, it forces you to self-censor yourself, but it also is cowardly because it means you don't stand for something you believe in. That's what I can't stand. It's what's killing this country. It's the wussification of America that's killing us. If you don't say Merry Christmas at Christmas time, you're a wuss. And if you're wussified, get out of here. It's time for us to stand for what we believe. See, this is the problem. This is the dilemma. I know. I'm the Christian boy. I'm not supposed to offend people. And I agree. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but I got a flash for you, my friends. Listen very carefully. You see, there's a difference between maliciously offending somebody on purpose and somebody being offended by truth. Of course it's right. I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't right. It's kind of my thing. I say the right stuff. That's what I'm saying. Because this is what we've forgotten. If you're offended by the truth, that's your problem. I have no obligation to not offend you if I'm speaking the truth. The truth is supposed to offend you. That's how you know you don't got it.
That's how you know you ain't got it. You know. And it took me a long time to realize that. You know, I used to hear Daddy, and Daddy has never been a step on your toes preacher. But at the same time, he'll say some stuff that makes you hurt, and you know he's speaking the truth. You know he's speaking from God. And that's what it's supposed to hurt, because you know you ain't got it. But anyway, I think we missed a slide back. But it says, you know, it's our duties as Christians and Americans. You know, we have the right, the privilege, and the expectations to speak the truth. As Christians, if we're not leading our lives like we need to, if we're not speaking to people like we should, you know, that blood's on their salvation's on their hands, but that's also blood on our hands, you know. I don't want to be the guy when we get to heaven and it's, well, you had a chance to talk to this guy, and this guy. Why didn't you do it? You know, that's our duties is to speak the truth. And just a quick acronym, you know, it says, what is truth? You know, truth is the real understanding through him. You know, it's not what we want. You know, it's what he wants. It's taken me 31 years to finally come to it, but it's become a hard thing to put the truth over my beliefs, you know, and if it's been really hard for me to learn how to change my beliefs when it comes to the truth, even when you don't like it. You hit the next one. Okay. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehoods, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. You know, that's if you really look into it, it's talking about truth, you know. And I'm gonna hit you, and this might seem a little offbeat, but it kind of coincides with it, you know, a real truth, you know. In 1995, 25% of Americans frequently attend the church. In 1999, 19% of Americans frequently attend the church. In 2002, 18% of people frequently attend the church. And it's saying by 2010, 10% of people will start attending church. And it says by 2050, we don't know where we're going to be. Yet, Planned Parenthood abortions have risen from 2009 from 327,000 today to 331,000. So it'll make you think, you know, who's preaching the truth? You know, what are we doing wrong that church growth, that the U.S. is the lowest in church growth in the world, yet everything else, and I don't want to get political, but everything that we stand against, we're letting run over us. I didn't want it to sound like a throat punch, but you know, that's a true fact. You know, our goals and our attributes are lowering, while everything we don't like is rising up against us, and we're not taking that stand because as Americans we've become scared. We're getting scared to take that step and stand up for it. You get the next one. In Matthew 10:7, and proclaim as you go saying to the kingdom of heaven that it is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, and you receive without pay and give without pay. That still goes along with the truth. You know, we need to, it's our duties as truthful Christians is to bring out the gospel to the hard places despite the conflict. Even though we don't feel comfortable about it, you know, even if you're at work, you know, you have that friend that's, you don't know what he's going through, but you know he's down. I ain't saying you got to get on a curb with a Bible and start slapping people with a Bible, but it's just those words of encouragement. It's them watching you live through Christ. There's that guy saying, hey, what do you got? You know, I look at a lot of men in this church, just the men I look up to, and I look at Mr. Frank, and I'm like, you know, I want what that man's got. You know, I look at Mr. Steve, I want what that man's got. I try daily to have what the men of our church have, you know. I try to look at my father, I'm like, you know, I kind of want what that man's got. I don't want all of it, I just want a little bit of it. But, you know, we have to sacrifice everything for the love of the other person. You know, we have to love the person. We don't have to love the sin, but we have to love the person. You know, it's our duties as Christians, you know, to tell the people that, you know, living in sin, you know, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. You know, it could be anything. I'm not gonna push no topics because this is my first time here, and I don't want get Brandon to have to escort me out of here. But you know, that's our goal. You know, we're to love the person beside us. It is our goal is to tell them the truth. You know, that is your responsibility as a Christian is to tell these people. You know, this is the truth. You know, the Lord loves you. I love you. But what you're doing is wrong. You know, and the number one thing is the problem in the church, and I'm the worst one for it, is, you know, we have to quit judging and start loving. You know, that's why I become a Christian. You know, this is the only religion that would take me. You know, I don't, you know, every one of them, you know, we'll take you, but you can't eat pork, you know. I can't do that. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. So that's why, you know, as Christians, you know, we're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be supportive of the other person. And like I said, I won't keeping y'all long. Like I said, this won't preaching. It was only talking. But, and like I said, I'm going to go back to John 14:6. You know, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And like I said, it is our responsibility as Christians. You know, if we're not doing it, we're wrong, you know, and we have to challenge ourselves. You know, are we being biblically correct or politically correct? You know, the truth hurts, but you know, you're gonna have to take your lashings with it. But anyway, there's one more video I'm gonna show you. Like I said, I ain't gonna keep you long at all today. But there's a pastor named Sam Rodriguez. He's a Hispanic pastor from California. And he hits the nail on the head when it comes to being politically correct in prayer. And we're going to watch this. And I think we'll pretty much be done for today. I'll be the first Lent to get y'all out of here before 12 o'clock. So. See?
I was invited to make a prayer for this event in Washington, D.C. It was a large event. Mucho, mucho people. And I do mean mucho. And I was invited to pray. And the organizer is a television personality who you recognize. Not a believer, but he invited me. He's a friend. He said, Ron Rodriguez, I want you to come in. I want you to pray for the event. I said, it's a secular event. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Why would you want me to pray? Well, I just want you to pray. You want me to come and pray for an event that has absolutely no spiritual count? Yeah, I want you to pray. Oh, you want me to pray? You want me to pray? So they flew me in. It's a large event. And I do mean very large. A couple 100,000 people. And I come in and I go backstage and right there, it's going out there next to the Washington Monument, and we're going up, and I'm going up, and the personality looks at me and says, "We changed the program." And again, I took that red eye flight from Frisco to DC. So it's, you know, third caramel macchiato, and I'm looking and I'm going, "What?" And he went, "We changed the program. You're still praying, but in the spirit of correctness, we invited other people, other faith narratives to pray." And he goes, "You know how it is." I go, "No, I don't, but go ahead and tell me." And he says, "Well," and it just sounds like three guys go to a bar, but you have to see it. It's actually, you can see what he's saying. He goes, we have a universalist minister who will pray. We have an imam, the Muslim faith. We have a rabbi, and you're the Christian." He goes, "You want to pray first or last?" Something inside of me said, "Son, you better pray last to fix all the mess everybody else makes out there in that planet." So I said, "I'll pray last. With great humility, I'll pray last." So the first lady went up first, and she goes up first, and she prayed, and she went, "God, you're the God of many names and no name at all. You're the air, you're the wind, you're the rock, you're the leaf, you're the tree. You are everything, and yet you are nothing. Amen." Isn't that special? And the imam prayed in the name of Allah, and the rabbi did a good prayer, and I'm coming up, and I'm fighting with God, and I don't know what you know, but God is bilingual, so I'm fighting with God. And I'm going, "Señor, ¿por qué tú me metes en este lío, Señor? God, why are you putting me in this? I thought you opened the door, no man can go, so I opened the door. The door was open, so I just went right through it, because you opened the door. I mean, I took a 6-hour flight, and now I'm where I can. My life, I'm going to step into the day, and now I'm going to go back home. I don't want to make them uncomfortable. I don't want to make them feel. I thought I had a prayer, but now I'm going to, I don't want to make them feel bad. How do I pray here? I mean, I had the script ready, and now I'm going to, I don't want to, I'm not here for contra. I'm here to pray, but they're here. How do I pray now? Do I pray in the name of what? The air? Why do I pray? How do I pray? And the Lord, the Spirit of God told me, just pray like you do at church. Y'all never been to my church. So I grabbed the mic, hit the mic, looked and said, "Okay," looked at the crowd. Everybody's deer in headlights looking at you and said, let's pray. In the name that is above all the other names. In the name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. No other name given unto man through by which salvation has come unto all mankind. In the name of he who saves, he who delivers, he who heals, and he who is coming back again. In the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray.
Amen. After he said that prayer, it took them about 10 minutes to get that place under control, and they couldn't realize why. You know, that was one man that was not scared to go into a hard place and go against conflict, and you see what it did. You know, it's like I said, as Christians, it's not our place to judge somebody about at where they are in their journey. You know, it's our duties and our goals and our, you know, it's our expectations of Christmas as Christians is to help them get to where they need to be in their journey. With that saying, you know, that's all I have to say for today. Daddy, I was asked to at least have an altar call today. You can play that. It is becoming a very hard world we live in. Like I said, I've been to Afghanistan where you see people getting killed over scripture. You know, I've been to other Muslim countries where, you know, people are willing to stand up and they're willing to go into the conflict and and fix the stuff that is. But like I said, just, let's just remember that and let's go forward. But that saying, you know, thank you all for being here today. Just hit play. Oh. With that being said, if anybody has the would like to come forward and pray this morning, yes sir. Yes sir. Any men of the church like to come up and pray with us?
Break every chain. Break every
if anybody else would like to come up and pray this morning, feel free. If anybody has a need this morning that would like to be prayed for.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, Tim, say every power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
Jesus.
There is power.
There
is power. Come on.
Yes,
come on, you declare it. There
yes,
is power in the name. There is power. There is power in the name. In the name. We know where it is to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, say to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army. There's an army rising up.
We're going to let other people continue to pray. Thank you everybody for coming out this morning. Oh yes, don't forget Pastor David West will be here tonight. He does the chalk art. Was that 6 o'clock? 6:30. Mr. Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, sir?